B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. 97.5
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. We're going to finish strong in this 5 o'clock hour. We're going to try to be as good as we've been in the first few hours. T-Love, you're on 97.5. The Fanatic starting off the hour. Put him on hold, huh? Sound like something's going on over at T-Love crib. Let's hope everybody's safe. Luke in Easton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Ty?
What's up, Luke?
Not much. I just, you know, I've been listening to you all day, and you're hitting the nail on the head, man. I'm loving what I'm hearing. I just want to share a little story that I had from a couple years ago, Super Bowl win. I'm another veteran calling in just to give, you know, my two cents. I was deployed on a ship at the time. We were in the South China Sea. We had to, like, they put up this big inflatable TV in the hangar of the ship, and it was awful to watch, but it was one of the best memories of my life. There was a sailor. I was a Marine. We didn't get along with the sailors. And there's this sailor just going on, big Eagles fan. And I see him the whole time. We're hyping each other up. And then we win. And that was, like, one of the best feelings of my life. We ran over. We hugged each other, you know. And I love that guy. He was a black guy, by the way. He was a black sailor. I'm a white guy. I don't think that really matters to us. You know, we also one kind of team. But I love that guy. And I love him to this day, you know, and that's, I think sports brings us together. And if there's any cops listening out there or anything like that, you ever find a knee on someone's neck, man, just think of them as like a fan of your team. Think of them as a fan of your team when they won. And you got to feel something. I'll tell you, man, I'm out of heat. I don't got nothing. It's all love now. It all got used up while it was over there. And I don't got nothing left. And by the way, I got out in, like, February. I've been home. I came home, and
wow, that's
pandemic, right, and now race riots. You know, it's been a rough ride since I got home.
Yeah, man, Luke, and hopefully things get better for everybody. 2020's been a terrible year.
That's putting it mildly. That's why, you know, that's why I said earlier in the show, we're all trying to unpack all of this together in some sort of way. It's like our entire livelihood and everything we've known started with the pandemic has changed. And
that's absolutely led to more aggressive protesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been like the perfect storm of a lot of unhappy people.
Yep.
You know, just kind of, and then to see the horrific murder of George Floyd, and it's just, it's hard to navigate through. And I mean, I hope that we can provide people with like an outlet for it, for them to feel comfortable, but it's just, it's been insane.
It's been crazy. And if people like it, I'm glad. If they don't like it, that's okay too. There's no law that says you have to enjoy it. But I think what I can say we're absolutely doing is providing a platform for people to speak.
Well, and I would just like to reiterate that if it were, I think I can speak on behalf of you, Ty, if it were up to me, Ty, and Andrew, we would be talking about the NBA Finals, and we would be talking about the Flyers,
the third
cup
place
run,
and the third place,
and the third place Phillies. Like, there is nothing more. Right, there is nothing more that we would love to be doing than talking about that.
Right.
In any world.
Think I want to talk about this? Me? Want to talk about this? I haven't really. I like to make all these jokes. I've been having to keep all the jokes in the holster.
I know.
You know how hard that is for me.
I know.
I once made jokes to the doctor. My mom had surgery that comes out of the thing, and I had the fart buzzer on my phone.
You did.
And I made it like the doctor when he was explaining to me about like what happened, like clearly, like playing, I was hitting a machine and made jokes.
You did. What did he say? Did he laugh?
Yeah, he laughed. He thought it was really funny. He's a good doctor.
That is funny.
That particular time he did a, so he came in and he took his mask off because, you know, masks don't work, but doctors wear them. And he took the mask off. And then when he sat down, I timed it just right. He laughed. And then, yeah. And he sat down. He looked. And my family. And, but it broke the tension.
Right.
Everybody's upset. And like,
right.
And apparently, my mom hadn't slept for a while before the surgery. She was nervous.
Yeah.
And that's why they were like, it's not that the anesthesia. She's just tired. Like, just let her rest.
Right.
She was just still asleep. Kind of yeah. Like, no, we can't go see her yet. But my dad then filled us in like, yeah, she didn't really sleep the last like 3 nights.
Right.
She was nerves.
Yeah.
Because they had to put her neck in a halo. It was
aww.
For a brain tumor. That particular surgery.
Yeah.
So she was nervous and she hadn't slept. So then she like slept afterwards and then.
And then you farted at the doctor. Well, pretended to.
Yeah. And honestly, yeah. That's not usually my humor, but it hit the note that day.
Right.
But instead now, if things too serious, could be serious about the world. Yeah. All right, let's try T-Love again. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's going on, T-Love?
Well, I just lost my dad.
Sorry to hear that. I know that feeling. Sorry to hear about that, man.
Yeah, brother. I spent the last 3 months taking care of him, and we got to know each other all over again,
mm-hmm.
which was a good thing. But my father was a peaceful man. He was a reverend. And he grew up in the time he marched with Dr. King, and he believed in peaceful protests. And we used to argue. I remember when I was younger, we used to argue, and I used to tell him, I says, there's no way I could have followed Dr. Martin Luther King back then, watching my people get bit by dogs and, mm-hmm. and having hoses put on them and all these kind of things. I would have been with Malcolm before he changed. Or with the Panthers or somebody like that, and mm-hmm. and the thing about that was at that time that was the wrong way. Martin was right. Nonviolence was the way. And
well,
we have
hold on now, T-Lo.
What
proof do you have that it was the right way? Because Martin can't tell you that right now.
Well, here's the thing about it.
But I want to. By the way, I want to be optimistic and agree with you. I'm saying, what evidence do you have that that's true?
I'm going to tell you why, because so many things, they haven't changed fully, but at that time, in the 60s, I'm a child of the 60s,
yeah.
And in the 60s, it was a lot different. And in the 50s before him, you talk about Britain separate bills, you couldn't even sit at a table with a white woman.
Yeah,
okay?
it was
and
illegal.
And that's what's changed. We got to vote. And we don't exercise that. Our people die to vote, and we don't exercise that right.
Well, I've been talking about. I talked about that earlier. That people have to vote today.
But there's other things that we don't take advantage of. Things have changed for us. We are making money now. We have people of influence. We had a black president, which I thought I would never ever see. And
so
those
hold on,
are T-Love. The things that.
Why didn't it save George Floyd?
Well, listen.
No, T-Love. You've had your full allotment. Why didn't it save George Floyd?
Well, it didn't save him because things haven't changed fully.
That's my point. I'm not suggesting that we have things aren't better. I would not be able to sit in this seat. First of all, in this city, being able to sit in this kind of seat as a non-former pro athlete, impossible. Impossible.
Yeah, I said
impossible for a guy to not have played pro ball because you know to not have played pro ball impossible. I understand that, but the work's not done. So I'm a person, you know, I don't spike the football early. We're not there. I'm not here to celebrate how far we've come. I'm here to still put in the work on how far we still need to get to go. Because if everything was as optimistic as T Love was saying. George Floyd doesn't happen. Not because there wouldn't be a bad cop. That means it would be because one of those other cops would have taken that knee off his neck, put him in the police car. And if he had all these pre-existing conditions, he would have died sitting in air conditioning in the police car on the way to the precinct. That's not what happened. So while I agree, things have absolutely gotten better. Absolutely. We're not there. Or that George Floyd doesn't happen. So I can't celebrate yet. No, I'm not about that early celebration stuff. No. Not there yet. Joe in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Todd? Man, Andrew. You know what I mean? You're here speaking on the situation, man. America is a black and a white country. You know what I mean? And black is so polarizing because black people have been here before 1776 and all of that. And I mean, the black people are the counterparts to the white people in America. You mean the white, you know, the original white people in America, period. Nobody cares about American values, but black or white. When July the 4th is on, is a black, white people throwing barbecue, is white people throwing Christmas, New Year's, whatever. We celebrate every American value, every American tradition.
Yes.
I mean,
cause
we've been here from the beginning. You know what I mean? And when you see other races or other countries can come over here and, you know, and they don't even want to be a part of it. I'm not blaming other countries, but they don't even want to be a part of America. They come to America, they start their own communities, their own businesses. They don't even want to be bothered with the white or the black in America. You know what I mean? They start their own community, our countries. And when you got a counterpart, why do you want your, you know what I mean? What is the point of holding your counterpart down so low? I mean, like in sports, who cares more about the Eagles or any city you go to? Any sports city you go to in sports talk, it's going to be black colors, white colors predominantly,
right.
Period. I mean, if you're talking about politics, if all the white people disappeared tomorrow from the planet, I mean, black people would know how to run the political system, everything. Black people are simply the counterparts. And when you're the counterpart of Americans and you see other people coming in and can take advantage of things that you can't get, we're 13% of the population. We just sent out a $2 trillion bill. You mean you can't do anything? I mean, you know, with all these minds together, we can't uplift 13% of the population who've been here from the beginning, who are, you know, original Americans. I mean, it's people who've been here for one generation, two generations. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, there's billionaires and families that are successful, and we've been here. And you just cannot keep your foot on your counterpart just that long. Why would you want an inadequacy in your, you know, these hospitals can be pulled more with black. Black people don't have to be the janitors of everything and the kitchen workers.
Listen, you know what I mean? Joe, you're absolutely right. And I don't think the majority of people want to keep the foot on. The issue is, there's a lot of people out there who don't want to acknowledge that that foot exists. And that, to me, is the problem. I don't think the majority of white people sit at home and think, oh, I want to hold black people down. Like, I don't think that happens. It's just that when it brought up, some people go, oh, yeah, no, that's not happening. Everything's just even. I don't know how the hell they've decided that. But they just go, yeah, everything's just good. And it's because it's a coping mechanism. Because it's hard to sleep at night for some people with a conscience if you're knowing that kind of thing is happening. You don't want to think about that. But I just make it clear, I don't think it's an active thing. But that's why I think it requires active work. And when you do come across a person who does think like that and they do exist, then it's your job, again, in my opinion, to say something. You don't wait till the foot's already on my neck and then say something. Say something and let them know it's not okay to put the foot on my neck in the first place. That's where I think the responsibility lies. Tom in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Ty, how you doing?
All right, Tom. How are you?
Okay. Ty, I did two tours of duty in Vietnam, yet this last 2 months, I swear, I've had a harder time sleeping than the 2 years over there.
Wow, that's terrible.
Those were 2 years in combat, not two years being.
Yeah, I hear you.
Some rear echelon position.
Yeah, my grandfather, my mom's dad was in Vietnam.
All right. The whole answer to the problem, I think, is right on your chest. And unfortunately, I look in today's Inquirer, and there's a cartoon showing the protesters walking away from the polling booth saying it won't change a thing. It doesn't change quickly or quickly enough, but it does change everything. And people gave a lot of blood for the right for all of us to vote. And we better all vote and vote like our lives depend upon it, because they do. So the answer, you're wearing it right there on your chest, and I appreciate that so much. I just wish everybody who could vote would vote. I think we would finally solve the problems that we have.
You're absolutely right, Tom. That's an excellent point. Voting is so important now. Now, Tom, why do you think, I'm going to defer to you, you have wisdom, why do you think people don't vote? Why do you think people have that sense of helplessness? How do you solve that? Because it's easy to say go vote, but how do we solve the feeling of hopelessness that many people, white and unfortunately many, many black people have, that it won't make a difference.
I'm afraid most of these, many of these younger people just aren't educated enough to realize how much difference they can actually make if they will just read and study and learn how important the vote is and help select the correct people to run this country so that they don't have to have the situation that we see when you have a DA out there in Hennepin County, Minnesota, who doesn't even know enough to arrest those four cops immediately because there's probable cause right in front of his face.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then there were also people saying that a grand jury would indict. They were talking about like a piece of fruit. They were saying there was no reason not to put them in front of a grand jury, indict them, they can get out on bail, and then build the case later on. But because they said the video would have been enough for an indictment. This is what legal experts said. But what are you going to do? So there are some peaceful protests going on around the city. Please, people. The word of the day has been adjustments. Go home. I don't want to see any tear gas, anybody getting hurt, anybody trying to blow up an ATM. They are not playing. They are not playing today. Please be smart tonight. Go vote and go home. When I get off work, you know where I'm going to go? Home. What are you guys doing after you get off work?
I'm going to vote.
And then home.
And then home.
All right? Let's be smart about this. We've kind of reached as much unity as we can possibly reach right now through this. 89%, we're not going to get better than that. We're not going to get 100. Those that have a righteous mind, I think we're there together right now. Let's not let there be any more bloodshed. Because last night in Philly, it was relatively calm, yet still, people died.
These isolated incidents you're realizing, this is probably not it.
And I keep on wanting some weather. Maybe tomorrow we get a little rain. Rain would help right now.
Rain would help tremendously.
And I hate rain.
Yeah.
But a brother could use some rain.
Mm-hmm.
Calm everything down before it gets hot again. Or be 110. One or the other. Like, this perfect weather for protesting is not going to be helpful right now.
No.
Not right now when they're talking about dominating the streets. When that's the order, keep your butt out of the streets. Please.
By the way, I'm seeing some reports that the curfew tonight will be at 8:30 because
the polls are open until 8,
and it gives people time to get back home. So as of right now, I haven't seen an official word from the police department or the mayor or anything, but reports are that it's 8:30 tonight.
Be home at 8:29. Be safe. Please. Murray and Mayfair, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, how you doing, everybody?
All right.
I just don't understand. Like, I'm up here in the Northeast, and obviously, the policemen should be tried to the fullest extent of the law, but I don't understand how breaking windows in these businesses where they have to close and, it puts everybody at discomfort does anything. That's what throws me. All these windows broken.
I hear you, Murray. So let me ask you this, Murray. What does help?
Well, part of it is what couple of the people said there, to go out and vote.
And what else? That's because some people do vote and haven't seen change. Again, Murray, I'm all, everything you say, nothing of what you said was wrong, but what would save George Floyd's life?
Make it worthwhile. What would have saved it? It was a bad policeman. Three other policemen watched. I don't understand that. They claim I talked to a policeman that there's a blue code.
Right, and that's fine. So then how do we break that? Unfortunately, you remember...
Maybe smarter people than me couldn't do it. I know I protested during the Vietnam War. We had peaceful protests in Dilworth Plaza.
Yes, and
I don't think you're old enough to remember that.
No, but I'm old enough to read. And I also know that those protests were always... always peaceful.
Yes, they were.
There was bloodshed in the Vietnam War protests.
Definitely. But
there was absolutely bloodshed. There were absolutely lives lost, Murray. And, unfortunately, all these murders still happened after the fact. Again, no one, I'm not going to sit here and say that looting is right, because it's not right. But when they say, I don't know what this is the solution for, the only thing, and I keep asking it, is what is the solution? What is the solution? What will guarantee that I will make it home safely? What will it take? What would it take? That's what I'm trying to find out. And no one has that answer. It's very easy to say, I don't like something. This won't work. It's much harder to say you do like something. This will work. That's what I'm trying to get to. And the police don't seem to say it. Our leaders don't say it. They try because they don't know. Because in America, to this point, the answer is nothing. The answer is nothing. Kenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's that?
Kenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, just real fast, if these cops that are getting a really bad rap, I have no problem that the cop did something wrong. But all across America now, these cops are getting a bad rap. They're the same cops that were walking into the coronavirus hotspots and taking the same people to the hospitals. You know what I mean?
I thought the ambulance took the people to the
Well,
ambulance.
Paramedics, yeah, fire department.
There's nobody protesting paramedics
or fire
department.
Well, I'm just saying how fast it flipped, okay? How fast it flipped. I mean, you know, when a white cop is giving a black kid mouth-to-mouth respiration because he's trying to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If a cop says, take me out of the game, he should be taken out of the game. And they're still leaving him in that precinct. You know, if like in L.A. with Rodney King and all that, it should never happen.
Yeah, there was nobody there to do mouth-to-mouth on him. Who did? Did they do any resuscitation on George Floyd when he was responsible?
No, and he'll be convicted. But there's a thing. Maybe. Obama's...
Rodney King officers weren't convicted.
Obama's advisory to the police department yesterday on TV, a black woman, mm-hmm. she said the man went off the deep end. That guy who was in Vietnam for two tours.
Uh-huh.
These cops are on the front lines, okay, for 19 years. Imagine you being a white cop walking up to a corner. You got to report man with a gun.
Well, that's not what happened here, Kenny.
No, it wasn't.
In this particular case, it was a man with a counterfeit $20 bill.
Okay, hear me out. But it's not what happened. It's what happens every day. That cop has to walk up to a corner every maybe 2-3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a report, man with a gun. He wants to go home to his wife and children, too. He's walking up. He doesn't know which guy has the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He doesn't know if somebody's wanted on a warrant from North Carolina.
Right. So what I'm saying is, Kenny, what are you trying to say?
That well, what I'm trying to say is, job, just hear me out.
Because it's a tough job. You've been going way over the time. It's a tough job.
Okay, don't cut me off. Just hear.
Can't. Way too long. Gave you mad time. Being a cop's a very tough job. Very tough job.
Was he trying? I
think he was saying that, hey, he just snapped.
Well, fine. So then part of, I think, to make it better going forward is there needs to perhaps be resources available if police are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is very possible.
Very possible.
From what they see on a daily basis, that
terrible
that
things.
The most of us could never even fathom.
Yes.
Then that should be part of the change going forward. That's again.
That could be one of the adjustments.
That could be one of the adjustments.
That could be one of the adjustments.
Yeah.
To keep this from happening.
Yeah, because
I don't give a darn what he saw. You can't put you can't put your knee on a man's neck till he dies. I don't care what you saw. You can't do that. I don't care. I understand it's a tough job. I also know that it's not slavery. If you choose to be a cop, that is a very hard job. Very hard job. I could not do it. Flat out. I'm not brave. I'm not tough. I would absolutely kill people because I would not do I would be scared. I would not be the right person to be a police officer. The question is, how many police officers are not the right people to be police officers if a counterfeit $20 bill equals death? Because that was not rolling in the corner. He was not armed. He did not resist. Like, none of that applied. And he had mad backup. mad backup. There was 100 cops on the scene, an ambulance on the scene that they didn't use, mad people on the scene. That doesn't apply to this case. Good thing is the person who watched George Floyd die, who was doing the camera, somebody has paid for him to get the mental help that he needs.
Good.
And that came out. And that's
good.
A positive thing. I brought that up because you brought up the point about getting help. Absolutely. If cops need help, they should get help.
Yeah.
They do a tough job.
It shouldn't. And again, maybe this is another adjustment that that as we progress as a society, we see they shouldn't be afraid to ask for help if they're feeling whatever way they're feeling.
Right. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. It's time for our final Twitter poll numbers, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower? Zero turn or other outdoor equipment? Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. They're the best. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. What are the final numbers, Natalie?
Thanks, Ty. Today's poll has over 1,600 votes on it. Will you make adjustments in your life? 63% say yes, 37% say no. So
all right.
It's more than half.
It is more than half.
More than half.
Listen, you get 63%, you're probably good. I mean, that's enough, right?
No, you should get more.
I mean,
well, again.
I mean, it should have been an 80-20 poll.
Yeah.
This is screaming to be an 80-20 poll. But listen, people are upset. People are in the house. There's still the pandemic.
Oh.
Like all that's still going on.
I know.
Yeah.
Whining.
Not awesome.
No.
Not awesome.
This is the opposite of awesome.
Yes.
It's the opposite of good.
It is the opposite of good.
This is bad.
Yeah. You know.
This is actually kind of the worst.
Hard to get much worse.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm glad we all have those of us who have our health, I'm glad we have it.
Yeah.
We can keep on pushing, and that doesn't mean there won't be a brighter tomorrow.
Right, but it's like we just spent, 3 months fighting a virus that we can't see, and now we're trying not to fight each other. It's just really hard. It's hard. This is hard.
Somebody said, who would have thought that coronavirus, it went viral, would blow a 28-3 lead to racism? I was like, kind of a violation, but like.
Yeah.
So Brady is on the.
On the racist side. Coming
and
back.
The Falcons are the virus.
On the virus. Racism came back and took the lead, took control. That's floating around online. Internet's undefeated.
It is. And
death, the internet.
Father time,
and ladies, undefeated. Those four things.
I won't disagree.
4-1 seeds. There's your field 64.
your 4-1 seeds. Good luck topping them. They're never going to lose. Never going to lose. GG in Chester Springs, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi. So what I wanted to say is, for what the last couple callers were talking about, mm-hmm. The reason why I personally think a lot of young people, because I'm a 19-year-old girl, and the reason why...
I hope you're staying safe out there.
Yes, I am.
Some of you college students are out here getting into trouble. I'm trying to keep y'all out of trouble.
Oh, no. I'm in Chester Springs. I'm out of the city.
Okay? Nah, some of them are busting into this. That's my whole thing. Coming into the city, getting in trouble. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
I see that. Yeah. Right. A couple of my friends are back at Temple. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I knew what I was talking about. They're out in them streets.
Yep. But what I was going to say is the reason why I think I don't know too much about politics. I'm going to be straight up.
Yeah.
But I think, with the last election, a lot of people were seeing that the Electoral College was taking most of the power away from the people. So I think that alone kind of discourages a lot of the people out there that do want to vote and see, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe, it won't make such a big difference. So that's just one thing.
To that point, that is, there are people out there trying to get rid of the Electoral College. That's a complicated issue.
Right.
Too complicated for a 2-minute phone call, but
right,
that
right.
absolutely there are a certain amount of people out there who feels like their vote doesn't matter. But that's only for national elections. You can, yeah. If you have a great mayor and a great governor and great senators, it really won't matter about the president if you have all these other great leaders, great assemblymen, great congressmen, if you have all these great people. So I think that young people need to focus on the races closer to them and not just focus on the big national elections, and you can still make positive change, in my opinion.
I agree. And there was one other thing I wanted to say was that I'm seeing a lot of, on the social media networks, this Blackout Tuesday, and I personally, I don't think that that's super productive in that it's blocking a lot of the posts that are bringing vital real-time information from the front lines of these protesters, and from what I'm seeing on the TV, I'm not really sure that that's real versus what people are posting. So I'm seeing just a lot of black screens, which is taking away from the purpose of social media, which is like to give me direct information from the people that are out there right now.
Now, that's a good point, Gigi. Because what the media has an important role, obviously, extremely important role. At the same time, some of these videos that we're seeing on the ground sometimes are telling, not necessarily just in Philadelphia, like it's not, I'm not trying to single out any of the great journalists in this city. But sometimes what's being shown on the ground is different than what's being shown on the news. And she says she was 19 years old. A lot of kids are going to that social media.
Yeah.
Going to Instagram for their news. The Instagram. They're going to the Twitter. To get their news instead of going on TV.
Well, yeah, that's what that does. That's the first time I've ever heard a 19-year-old female call, by the way. So I'm really glad about that.
I am too. Again, we're trying to make this net as
open,
big as possible.
Open, yeah. Just to hear her voice made me really happy.
Yes, and she had interesting things to say.
She was just talking about what this is like from her perspective.
Yeah.
Which is something that we don't get to hear.
Not nearly enough.
No.
Not nearly enough. Ryan and Ben Salem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how we doing?
All right, Ryan.
I just wanted to touch on, you know, there's been a lot of debate about whether or not it's peaceful or we should be violent or what the situation should be. And as a younger white man, I believe that myself, along with my peers, have no right or have no idea what it's like to be oppressed or to see what has happened to the people, to someone like George Floyd, and to know that it can happen to you, because I as a white man know for a fact that wouldn't happen to me at the same you know rate it would happen to someone who is a black African-American.
Right.
So I believe that, you know, whatever the situation is, we have a problem. And if you're frustrated, however you take out your frustration is up to you. And unfortunately, it's happening in as violence across this country. But, you know, it is what it is. We need to realize that we need to start opening our eyes to the problem that we're seeing. And we need to step back, have the conversation. You know, even though it's uncomfortable, I know for a lot of people it may be uncomfortable, but we need to have that conversation. Talk to our friends. Talk to our family. We need to go out and vote. You know, today's PA primary election, we need to go out, we need to vote.
For sure, go to vote. Polls close at 8 o'clock. Please go vote.
Absolutely. We need to research our candidates, not only the president, but we need to research our local candidates from school board all the way up through senators. We need to vote people in that we know are going to represent the ideals of all Americans, not just white Americans, not just the majority that we have right now. We need to have representation across the board. And we need to understand that as white Americans and black Americans, whatever race you are, we're all Americans.
Now, let me ask you this, Ryan. I feel like that, it for me, in my opinion, it's not enough to just not be racist. If a white person was around you, and again, I'm stating my opinion here. It's an opinion. And they were saying the N-word or saying they're all savages. They're all thugs, using those generalizations. I would hope, going forward, I'm not asking you in the past, that you would say, hey, man, that's not right. Do you think that that's unfair that I'm asking you, Ryan, from Ben Salem, to do that? Is that unfair?
Absolutely not. And this is a flashpoint in, should be a flashpoint in all of our lives, where moving forward, if we're ever in that situation, we should think twice and say, hey, no matter how close this person may be, we should say, hey, you know, stand up for you know, who they're going after. You need to say, that's not right. That's not who I want to be associated with. And at some point, you might need to cut ties with people. But we're at the point now in the history of this country, with this election and with everything else going on, we need to start calling out those types of people and make them uncomfortable.
And that, right, make them uncomfortable. And people keep talking, there's some people out there that think this is like a white versus black issue. It's really not. It's just basically everybody against racist. Everybody against racist.
Yeah.
And not, oh, maybe racist. I'm talking about everybody. And again, allies do not have to be perfect. I'll say it again. Versus racist. If you can't align with everybody versus racist, then you're just, well, I won't say. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. Let's get as many calls in as we can before the end of the program. Justin in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone, what's going on, bro?
What's up, Justin?
How you doing, man? Listen, so I'm apparently the face of everything that went down yesterday in Fishtown. And I got to make a few things clear. I was brought up on your show a little bit earlier, I think about an hour ago. Someone called me and asked me if I should call in. So I'm going to break something off first. Your brother Terrence has a very big influence on my son. And you should know why, because of football.
Yeah.
Terrence is my guy.
And he spoke very highly of you. And I said on the call that he had a lot of affection for you. But what about some of them guys you were with the gay slurs and stuff? What was that about?
So this is what we're going to address right now. My neighborhood means the world to me, just like it does a lot of people. And we live right on the corridor of Aramingo Ave. Aramingo Ave was one of the hardest hit areas in Philadelphia with the looting, all right? And with that being said, the lawlessness of what's going on, which I understand and completely agree with to a certain extent, I do. We need change in this country, and it needs to come, even if it has to go this route, okay? They're hitting these large corporation stores where everything is insured and covered. But what they're not going to be allowed to hit is our mom-and-pop stores that keep the neighborhood together. You can't go to a shop right and ask for a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread and bring the money back Friday. Our corner stores are the pillars of our community.
Now, hold on, Justin. I have no problem with that. My question is, you and my brother said, I didn't want to give your name or anything, said that you were a stand-up guy, but some of the guys you were with were not. So my question is, what was with the guys with the language and almost inciting, because I've been told that that's not who you are, but some of the guys you were with were. What was the deal with them?
Okay.
Because, I've heard nothing but good things about you.
There's a video clip of someone, I'm on a Facebook Live, showing that it was peaceful. Guy stood next to me, I said, yo, what do you think of this? He got on there and said, F them N-words. Immediately, I addressed it right away. See, they don't show that part of the clip.
Right, but here's the problem, Justin. I think you're a good guy. I get it. But why are you hanging with guys who would say that on camera?
My group of people that we were protecting the neighborhood with, I was with Spanish men. I was with black men. I was with Asian men. I was with a group of white men. That's what we were getting. We weren't with that group of people. We got called over because a black-owned barbershop was attacked. And Nathaniel put a whole Facebook post up thanking us. I have it on my social media. I shared it.
Justin, again, I don't doubt that you're a good guy. I'm trying to allow you to answer. What was with the dudes that you were standing with that yesterday who decided to use the gay and the racial slur on camera?
So all the gay, I didn't see none of that. I didn't see none of that until the clip was put up. I wasn't standing there when it went down.
So you're saying that you weren't really with those guys. They were loosely with you?
Yeah, so there was a bunch of people that convened onto the corner in Fishtown of where we were at. The guys that I was with, we had no intentions to fight protesters, to fight cops. We weren't there for that. We came to help the black barbershop.
And then other people jumped on to your movement, you're saying?
Everyone jumped into the movement on what we were doing. Our intentions have been pure.
Okay, I hear you, Justin. Nah, and I appreciate it. Again, I was told that Justin was a good guy, but he was with some guys that weren't so good.
Well, and
I just want to make clear, I was told initially that Justin was a good guy. He was hired. But some of those guys he was with, like the one that used the N-word and the gay slur and all that stuff, were not good guys, yet they were all in the same crew.
And Justin, his intentions were pure. And, mm-hmm. and if that's what he's going there to do, it's fine. However, the sensitivities that people are feeling right now, it's hard to kind of look past that when mm-hmm. it's citizens with right. weapons.
Right.
That I think is the difference here, and why it immediately kind of took so many people aback, because these are just regular citizens with weapons that mm-hmm. are they allowed, like, legally allowed to carry them? I'm not right. like, do you know what I mean? There's it's just so multifaceted that just one image of that makes people beyond, it's not even uncomfortable. It makes people scared.
Right. And when a couple of people in that crew are using that kind of language.
It
makes it feel like, well, these guys, even if maybe their intentions started good, or maybe several guys, but it only takes one to cause a problem. We've learned that. It only takes one guy, and then you have major problems.
Exactly. Where multiple people could get hurt.
Right. So, all right.
I'm glad he called too.
And he admitted that he was called, he was hired to be there for, but he does live there.
Yeah.
Okay. Wisdom, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I've had a lot of better days than today.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to call in response to the gentleman that was speaking about the cops and how much they go through something.
Yes.
Which
is true.
It's perfectly true. But guess what? So does every single body else on the face of the planet. No one has a good day every day. Everybody right. goes through something. I just went through something today, and that's why I had to call, because when I heard him say it, it pissed me off. Before today, I was fine, because mm-hmm. I know that this is something that's been going on for generations and generations.
Right.
And of course, it has me fuming. But up until today, it got worse. I was coming home from work. I work as an ophthalmic technician, working with eyes, injections, and all of that stuff.
Right.
And then I get halfway home, and there's a couple of white guys in the car in the opposite direction waiting for the red light. I'm singing to the top of my lungs, and as soon as I'm done, they yell out, "Stop singing, you N monkey." And they waited good until the light turned green, so that way they could speed off as soon as they said it. And I was fuming and upset so much that I couldn't even drive my car. And people were honking behind me. I had to go straight home. Couldn't go in the house. I had to call my supervisor or call people to calm myself down.
I'm so sorry.
When it comes to that guy, I didn't want to hear that cops have a bad day. You signed on for that job. If it's too much for you, resign. And that's all I have to say.
Wow, Wizzle, I'm sorry you had such a bad day. That's terrible. That's so unfortunate. That's still the reality, unfortunately. You know, that's still the reality for some. Obviously, it was the reality for Wisdom. You hear our emotion is real. We all have a responsibility to one another. We have to treat people better, period. All right. I want to thank Booney. I want to thank Josh. I want to thank Andrew, Natalie, everybody that listened, everybody that called, everybody that watched. Next, on the radio side, we have Joe Torti. On the TV side, we have Lunch Talk Live, followed by the NLDS from 08, Game 2. That was a big game. Very fun series. If you're looking for something a little bit uplifting on the TV side, absolutely watch that. Let's hope that things are safe tonight. Be safe. Please go vote. And I'll talk to everybody tomorrow.